It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to an Afghan writer about his experiences growing up during the many wars and transitions in his home country that his home country has seen in the past few decades.
But first, yesterday, the Washington Post and the Guardian's U.S. wing won the Pulitzer Prize for public service for their coverage of the National Security Agency's surveillance activities after last year's bombshell disclosures from former NSA contractor Edward Snowden.
There had been a lot of speculation over whether the Pulitzer would be awarded for the controversial stories of how the NSA had secretly collected millions of Americans' phone records and internet data. Michael Calderone joins us. He's the senior media reporter at the Huffington Post. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
Michael, there was a lot of buzz in the past weeks about whether the Pulitzer Board would take this step, which many see as a courageous one, if not provocative. Just how surprising is this to you?
Well, you know, the NSA coverage and the reporters and news organizations involved with it have won a number of prestigious awards. Just this past Friday, Glenn Greenwald and others who were involved with the coverage from The Guardian and also from The Washington Post won the prestigious Polk Award. But there was still speculation about whether the Pulitzer Committee would honor them, because the Pulitzer Committee would be making quite a statement. And I think they did this in giving the award, especially for public service. They're making a statement that these disclosures were in the public interest, and this is what journalists and editors have been arguing all along, even as you have members of government and officials and some members of Congress suggesting otherwise, that these disclosures were not in the public interest and actually damaged national security.
For listeners who may not be so familiar with the story, would you mind recapping it for us?
Sure. I mean, the Guardian, which is a British newspaper, has a U.S. Newsroom as well. And it was actually, they broke the initial story in June of 2013. And at that time, we didn't know who Edward Snowden was. But the initial story was about Verizon and how the NSA had been sweeping up millions of Americans' phone records. And this is the first story broke. And then the second day, within 24 hours, the Washington Post and the Guardian had two more bombshell stories about how the NSA, the National Security Agency, was sweeping up internet data and was getting a direct line to a number of different major companies like Google and Yahoo. And, so this got the ball rolling, and it was a couple days later that The Guardian, through Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras, who's a filmmaker, they helped Edward Snowden reveal himself to the world. And Edward Snowden, by this time, was in Hong Kong, and he revealed that he was the leaker of these documents. And Edward Snowden now remains in Moscow and has been charged with crimes under the Espionage Act here in the U.S. So, it started with a couple big stories, and it just snowballed. And the stories aren't over, because now you have the New York Times has some documents. Other outlets around the world have documents, and Glenn Greenwald, who is the journalist who was at The Guardian and has since left to help start his own media company, he's saying that some of the biggest, most complex stories are still to come.
Does this, the Pulitzer for this was given in the category of public service, and I'm wondering if that sends a message about the purpose, the mission of journalism and what it's meant to do. Does it send that message?
I think it does. The Public Service Award is a really significant one. I mean, in the past, NSA reporting has sometimes fallen under national reporting. For instance, the New York Times reported in 2005 on the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping program, and that was a bombshell story. And similar to the NSA disclosures more recently, got a lot of criticism, suggestions that the New York Times was acting as a traitor or had damaged national security. That went under national reporting. And so one of the questions leading into the Pulitzers was both, A, would the Pulitzer Committee honor the NSA coverage? And if they did, how would they do it? Would it be specific reporters? Would it be for a reporting category? Would it be for public service? So I think by giving it in public service and giving it to both The Guardian and The Washington Post, because they were really at the forefront of all this, I think it makes a real statement that this reporting and that this coverage and these revelations are truly in the public interest and have sparked a really important debate worldwide about privacy and surveillance.
Snowden himself declared it a vindication upon hearing the news of this award. And I'm wondering how this public debate over his actions have him declared both a hero and a traitor. How will this award affect his image in the public eye?
You know, I don't know. I think a lot of people are pretty set on how they see him. Like you said, people, you know, clearly think that he is a traitor for what he did. He leaked classified documents to journalists, and he left the country, and now he's in Russia, a country that clearly the U.S. is at odds with over a number of different issues. And so, you know, I don't think it's going to change those people's minds. And for people who see him as a hero and really feel that he, you know, what he did was beneficial, so that people would actually have a better understanding of the government's seizing of their data, you know, how the government takes their data and how the government uses it and or doesn't use it. I think those people will still see that he generated a truly important debate, and I'm reluctant to, I think maybe the Pulitzer could push some in the direction that what he did was good for society, but I think in a lot of ways people may have already have their minds made up.
Mm-hmm. Well, some would also say that the heroes in the story are the journalists themselves. Could you talk a little bit about what challenges and maybe even threats the journalists face when they're up against the story that they might feel obligated to report on, but also are being pressured not to?
Right. I mean, this is one of the most challenging stories in some time, just even from the initial contact with the source, Edward Snowden. He started trying to reach a couple journalists that he felt were really passionate advocates of civil liberties and really cared about the issues that he cared about. He started in January of 2013 trying to reach Glenn Greenwald, who was in with The Guardian, and Laura Poitras, who is a filmmaker, a freelance filmmaker, and who has done work on the NSA and has covered issues like war and surveillance. And so initially he had trouble even reaching Glenn Greenwald because Snowden would only communicate through encrypted communications, and that's something Glenn Greenwald didn't have set up in his computer. So even the initial contacts took a couple months to kind of get the ball rolling here back a little over a year ago. And then Greenwald, Laura Poitras, and the Washington bureau chief from The Guardian, Ewan McCaskill, then had to fly to Hong Kong to meet this source. They didn't know what he looked like. They didn't know if this was some sort of trap. They didn't know what the situation was going to be. And they met Snowden in Hong Kong, you know, got documents from him, and he, you know, revealed himself, and it became an international story overnight. And just in the reporting of this story, you have several journalists dispersed around the world. Glenn Greenwald lives in Rio de Janeiro. Laura Poitras is based in Berlin. The Guardian, which is where Greenwald was working, is based primarily in the UK, but also has a large newsroom now in New York City as well. And so there was a lot of moving parts here in terms of journalists trying to report out this story from several different countries at one time. And probably the biggest threat was not in the U.S., but in the U.K. The U.K. doesn't have the same sort of precedent for guaranteeing a free press that we have here in the U.S., and the U.K. authorities really cracked down on The Guardian in London, and at one point in time even compelled their editors to break their hard drive, to smash the computer hard drives that had the Snowden documents. Now, I mean, it was sort of a symbolic moment in this whole story because the documents were now dispersed around the world, and, you know, the documents aren't physically on a computer. They're, you know, uploaded and able to be accessed in all sorts of other ways. So, you know, it was a pretty incredible story because it brought to mind the Pentagon paper story in the U.S. during the Vietnam War, and you know, where a government tried to suppress the ongoing publication of state secrets. And, you know, it's as much as it's a national security story, it's also a journalism and a media story.
Mm-hmm. How do you think this will change the public demand for this type of journalism, these exposés or a challenge against government operation and surveillance?
Well, it's, you know, it's been a tough time because even outside of the Snowden documents, the Obama administration has been especially tough on leaks. They've cracked down more on leaks than any recent administration in terms of invoking the Espionage Act, which they used against Edward Snowden, and they've used more than all other U.S. presidential administrations combined. So, I mean, there is this climate where journalists will say that there's a chill in investigative reporting, but you see that there still is a hunger to get this type of information out there right now with the CIA's the CIA torture report, which is currently is being redacted, and some small part of it, maybe 10% of it, may actually be see the light of day. You have McClatchy, for instance, just last week, the Senate Intelligence Committee saying that they wanted to investigate a leak that went to McClatchy to reveal what was in this major study about the use of sort of what some call enhanced interrogation techniques, or some see as torture, mm-hmm. during the Bush years. So, you know, there are a lot of documents in there that journalists think are in the public interest and should see the light of day, and you know, and hopefully we'll see some more leaks, not reckless leaks, but leaks from people who feel that certain information should be out there and shouldn't be kept under lock and key.
Sure. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
That was Michael Calderon, senior media reporter at The Huffington Post.